Well, things are going to be a little bit different this morning because our preacher hasn't turned up. So we won't be able to do have communion. I'm going to do use the morning prayer starting on page 30. And we'll do the normal readings now. I can say a few words, but I haven't prepared a sermon, obviously. So if we turn in our books to page 30. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come into your house on this Sunday morning. We thank you that we can come freely and we can worship you. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will be with us this morning and bless us as we join together in your name. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, also with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Give us the joy of your saving help and sustain us with your life-giving spirit. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. Father, we confess that we have failed you in many ways. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of God is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Shall we say together, Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed is the Lord, for he has heard the voice of our prayer. Therefore shall our hearts dance with joy, and in our song will we praise our God. Blessed are you, Lord our God, creator and redeemer of all. To you be glory and praise forever. From the waters of chaos you drew forth the world, and in your great love fashioned us in your image. Now through the deep waters of death you have brought your people to new birth by raising your Son to life and triumph. May Christ your light ever dawn in our hearts, as we offer you our sacrifice of thanks and praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. Now I'm going to read the first of the readings for today, which is Philippians chapter 4, reading the first 9 verses. It's on page 1180 of the Church Bibles. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard about me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, shall we stand for the gospel reading, which is Matthew chapter 22. And reading the first 14 verses. It's on page 990 of the Church Bibles. This is the parable of the wedding banquet. Matthew chapter 22. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, ill-treated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" Please be seated. Now, we should actually remain standing because we'll say the creed together from page 253. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. Today he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, speaks from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Though obviously I've not had any time to prepare anything today. Anne was supposed to be here. I'm not quite sure why she's not here, but I'll just say a few words about the passage from Philippians, because we've been looking at this book for the last few weeks. It's a book that was written by Paul towards the end of his ministry when he was imprisoned in Rome, and he was writing to a church that he had established on his secondary missionary journey along with Silas, and it was one of his favorite churches in Macedonia. And although he's chained probably to soldiers next to him, he still writes a wonderful letter rejoicing. Though obviously he's very unsure as to what lies in the future for him. In fact, he is expecting that he will probably die in due course and that he will probably not see any of his churches again, including Philippi. But in this letter, he said a number of things that are to encourage other Christians, not just at Philippi, but as this letter was read in churches around the Roman Empire. It's a letter that speaks of rejoicing, that speaks about humility that we looked at a week or two ago, and also about how Paul has great confidence in Christ, even if he's imprisoned and he doesn't know what's going to happen to him. He is still confident. He says he knows Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in Christ's sufferings. And he feels that is what he is doing. He is sharing Christ's sufferings. And in the reading that we read from chapter 4, Paul is encouraging the church at Philippi. There's obviously some problem with some people not getting on with each other. Women, of course, who are in the church, who are not getting on with each other. And he encourages them to agree with each other in the Lord, whatever the problem. We don't know what the problem was. But he speaks from his heart that he wants all the members of the church in Philippi and all Christians everywhere to get on together and work together in the cause of the gospel. And then those wonderful words from verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And we are to rejoice even though we are suffering, even though we might be going through difficult times. And Paul had certainly gone through very difficult times, but he's still able to rejoice and encourage others to rejoice. Don't be anxious about anything. It's very difficult to be anxious and to rejoice at the same time. So he said, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. These are words that we very often use as a blessing within the church. So this morning, shall we remember that we should not be anxious about things? It's very easy for us to be anxious about ourselves and anxious for others around us. But we are called on, instead of being anxious, to rejoice in the Lord. We have so much to rejoice about in all that Christ has done for us, that he gave himself for us. We should be full of joy at his salvation. And whenever we are tempted to be anxious or worried about things in our lives, Paul says that we should present our requests to God, and we can be sure that he will answer our prayers, that he will be with us. It's so important as Christians to be seen by others to be living, rejoicing lives. There's so much negative stuff in the world today. People need to see Christians that are filled with joy in their lives. That joy should bubble forth in the way that we live, in our attitudes. And then Paul says that if we have that rejoicing in our lives, that lack of anxiety, then God's peace will be with us. And that will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ. Finally, he says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. That's a wonderful list. These are the things that we should fill our lives with, instead of being filled with anxiety, instead of thinking about self. We should be filling our lives with these excellent and praiseworthy qualities. Put it into practice, God says, and the peace of God will be with you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for those words of Paul. Although he was suffering for his faith and was in prison at the time when he wrote that letter to the Philippians, nevertheless, in his own life, he was filled with joy and peace. And he encouraged the people of Philippi, and through them, all Christians, to be filled with the same joy and peace in their lives, reflecting Christ at all times. So we pray that you will go with us into this coming week and bless us and help us to be filled with joy, and a joy that can be seen by others, that they will be attracted to Christ by the joy that they see in our lives. Amen. Shall we take up our offering now?